Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This episode of Your Welcome is brought to you for free today by our friends at betonline.ag. Here we are, the start of September, and that means it's football time. Now is a great opportunity to get in on the tremendous sports betting action in the NFL and college football. And if football doesn't do it for you, get hip to what's going on in Major League Baseball and the UFC. Get in the mix at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 for a 50% welcome bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Okay, I guess you could color me a little late here. Askren versus Maya is official. But I don't know that I am late in discussing. I feel like it's been a rumor for a while, but it just got done. I could be wrong on that, and I'm not really in the mood to be corrected. But let's talk a little Maya versus Askren. Couple of moving parts. Okay, first off, it's the main event. That's relevant to any kind of a breakdown or assessment you get, because now it's 25 minutes. And don't forget, Damian Maya likes to play a long game. You guys will remember, when jiu-jitsu got its start, when the Gracies came over here and started the UFC, and some of you may not know, maybe you won't remember, I'll be telling you something for the first time. When they came over here and started that was not meant to be this huge, successful company that everybody could make a living from. That was a marketing apparatus so they could go open jiu-jitsu gyms and have students come in and sign up. They were going to prove that this worked, that in their mind it was better than the alternatives out there for martial arts gyms, and therefore you should come train with them. Okay, great. But there's a real lesson in that, because the belief in jiu-jitsu sticks around to this day, but many of the elements went away. Let me give you an example. When Hoist Gracie came out and made not only fighting fun and recognized, and at that time, in fairness, a spectacle, but when he made you believe in jiu-jitsu, there was no way in. And Hoist would go out of his way to make sure there was nobody smaller than him. He was only going to beat bigger guys to really show you how effective this art was. Oh, and by the way, he was going to go ahead and beat multiple guys all in the same evening to show you how effective his art is. Well, I would say he hit a grand slam. I would say everything that they set out to do, they did and proved their point. I concede. But the history and the timeline is relevant, because when the UFC sold, or at least when elements became to step in, by example, a round system. As soon as a round system was put in, Hoist said, all right, I'm done. Now, did one have to do with the other? No, he's never said that. I was just a fan observing, and I noticed that these two time frames lined up. I do believe that I'm right. He didn't like the round system. And one of the reasons he didn't like it is jiu-jitsu was largely designed for longer competitions. It wasn't meant to come out and smoke your opponent, like, say, boxing would be, right? Boom, boom, okay, fight's over. No, it was designed for a little bit of rough and tumble. It was designed for some wear and tear and some positioning and some fatigue of your opponent. Wonderful art. None of this is, please don't interpret this as an insult to what he did. But do make sure you understand how it's designed. Relevance being, some of the better jiu-jitsu guys that do very well do better the longer the match is. They do better either right out of the gate while the opponent is dry. And that was also something Hoist had in his advantage back then. You could wear anything you wanted. You could wear a boxing glove if you wanted. One guy did. You could wear wrestling shoes if you wanted. You, in Hoist's case, could wear a gi if you wanted. It was very important to listen to Hoist as to why he chose to wear the gi. He said, I like to wear the gi because my opponent gets sweaty. I like to absorb that sweat so he isn't slippery so I can tie him in a knot. Okay, but these are big clues that he's putting down. And if you study the sport over time, and then you want to study the most effective art, or in this case, give a breakdown of Maia versus Askren, all these clues become relevant. First off, jiu-jitsu will work very well when the guy isn't slippery, okay? Because you can get a hold of him, and he can't slide out of it. We get that. So you will see jiu-jitsu work in the first half of the very first round, or adversely to Hoist's other point that he proved, is it will work very late when the opponent has slowed down a little bit, or when the opponent is convinced he has you in a great position that he's had success in for 15 or 17 minutes, and therefore you catch him sleeping on the job. I think that becomes relevant because I think that that favors Maia. I think that's good for Damian Maia. Whether I'm right or not, this is my, I think that's good for Damian Maia. I also think as far as a matchup goes, I don't know if there's a better match that I want to see Ben Askren in. He is so good at grappling, he never gets his credit for it. He gets his credit for being great at wrestling. He never gets his credit for his grappling, pure grappling. And you can find this and you can see this, some going his way, some not going his way, on YouTube, where he has done private workouts with everyone from Jake Shields to Marcelo Garcia. They're all out there. But it is very interesting to go and watch and see how he does. And I do want to see him with Damian. I mean, use Dean Thomas, by example, said he wrestled with Ben Askren and grappling with Ben Askren was like grappling with 2 men at one time. These are the comments. Tyron Woodley fought Damian Maia, trains with Ben Askren, said purely from a grappling standpoint, Ben Askren will cruise through this guy. Now, Damian Maia has a world championship and, by the way, more submissions than anybody in UFC history to say that Ben Askren's not going to cruise through him. So I'm compelled to see it. I find it an interesting match. And so many times in this sport, we always want to talk about, we want to see two guys and bang, and we want to see knockouts of this. Well, not necessarily. If you put these two great grapplers against each other, I mean, if you guys can remember the excitement that the industry had when Jake Shields took on Damian Maia, it was very legit. People wanted to see that match. But we also knew we weren't going to have this stand and bang, right? There's a few parts of the market, and everything is a part of it. The stand and bang is true. The pure martial arts, that's true. But then you've got a swelling to see the ground guys too. That's what we're going to get. There's no way around it. That's what we're going to get. And I like the match. And I also like that it's a main event because I want to see more minutes of it. Right. If Ben Askren can go out there and survive or dominate as Tyron Woodley says he's going to do, and he can do that for 25 straight minutes. Listen, that's something we're seeing now. Ben Askren sucks, right? We've got that. Ben Askren's terrible. He got knocked out by Masvidal in 5 seconds. Well, guess what, guys? You're not going to hurt Ben's feelings when you come out and say this. By the way, the haters out there, Ben Askren sucks. Ben Askren's overrated. It's something Ben Askren lived with every day of his martial arts life except the last 3 months. He had 3 months prior to Masvidal where people finally go, wow, that guy's really good. Right, he gets in that tussle with Robbie Lawler. It's all over the board. He's getting thrown around. His face is shut off. He finds that he comes back. He chokes him. There's everything. And then he got to have this window where people go, okay, we're done saying. It turns out you're really good. Then he gets hit with the knee. Oh, he's back to sucks. Well, guess what? This is like Br'er Rabbit. Don't throw me in the Briar Patch. Br'er Rabbit was born and raised in the Briar Patch. You think this is anything unusual to Ben Askren? You guys been telling him he sucks when he won 2 world championships in 19 straight fights in 2 different weight classes on 2 different continents and 2 different organizations. He sucked for a long time. Turns out he doesn't really mind that spot. But I do think this matchup is fun, and I also think that it's something relevant. If you guys go back in the timeline of Damian Maia, after his last fight, he came out and said, I'm going to do one more. And he even called out, he had a very interesting call out. He called out Diego Sanchez, of all people. But then he went on to elaborate and said, yeah, I'd like to take on another grappler. I'm a grappler. I'd like to celebrate grappling if this is my send-off. Okay, great. Well, you didn't end up with Diego Sanchez, but you do got a grappler. I guess it's a win-win. And if this is Damian Maia's last fight, I have no inside knowledge other than I read what Damian said. There's something special in that, too. I mean, not for nothing, but Damian Maia did make a very meaningful mark on this sport, and he is a very unique style. Damian Maia is always on top. People talk about his jiu-jitsu and the guard is back. Just go see Damian Maia. Damian Maia finishes people from on top. He's just weird that he pulls you down and then hits the same reversal on everybody and ends up on top. He's just got a very interesting style. And I think it should be credited, but I also think that it should be observed for what it is, which is largely a top-heavy game, but he's great at the in-between. How are you going to get on top? Well, you got to take a guy down. You got to learn a double leg. You got to learn a body like Khabib. Well, no. Damian Maia found another way to get on top, which is the reversal. Very compelling. I don't feel that Maia ever gets recognized for how many guys he reverses. It's a different style of jiu-jitsu. It's fun to watch, and a lot of times I feel it really isn't fully observed, at least in the way that I observe, and I appreciate it. To all my gamers out there, it is time to make some mayhem. Shoot and loot your way through a mayhem-fueled adventure in Borderlands 3 for PC, Xbox, and PS4. Borderlands 3 features all new characters, over a billion guns and weapons, and a ridiculous amount of customization. Play solo or with your friends and take some insane enemies, score loads of loot, and save the galaxy from a fanatical threat. Mayhem is coming September 13th on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. Pre-order Borderlands 3 now at Borderlands, rated M for mature.
ESPN's Woody Page is putting down the chalkboard and picking up the mic for the Woody Page podcast on Podcast One.
You came to me and said, I'm thinking about taking this job with the NFL Network. Yeah. What do you think? And I said, take it, because you can always come back to newspapers.
And I could tell you, Jim Sacamano, who was a vice president with the Broncos, I remember going to him, and he looked at me like I was crazy, like, you must stay.
Drop the chalk and download new episodes of the Woody Page Podcast every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Guys, I can't begin to tell you how great of a night's sleep I had last night. I feel refreshed and ready to bring my incredible podcast prowess to you listening out there. And that's because of Bear Mattress. It's been keeping me cool and refreshed every night this season. And not only that, my muscles feel great. Bear Mattress, that's B-E-A-R Mattress, is designed for an active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete, a weekend warrior, or just on your feet all day, you will sleep better and perform at your best. Bear mattresses are built to keep you cool and comfortable. They use FDA-determined sealant, textile technology proven to help you fall asleep faster, improve muscle recovery and performance, increase sleep quality, and give you that boost of much-needed energy in the morning. All mattresses are made in the USA and have over 10,000 five-star reviews, free shipping, and you'll get a 100-night risk-free in-home trial or 100% of your money back. And even better for listeners of this show only, you will get 20% off any mattress when you go to bearmattress.com/chael. Use the promo code CHAEL. That's B-E-A-R, mattress.com/chael. So rest easy, cool, and comfortably with Bear Mattress. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Go to bearmattress.com/chael. Use the code CHAEL at checkout for 20% off any mattress and get yourself a better night's sleep.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Now, guys, I must tell you, we've got a big week ahead of us. World Championships on the line. Interim champion of Poirier taking on undisputed champion in Khabib. And as we look ahead at this fight, and there's so many moving parts. I mean, for me, I love the interim title. And I know many of you don't. It drives you crazy. But on nights like we're going to have, where the A side and the B side, the red corner and the blue corner, the champion and the champ, both walk out with a 12-pound gold belt around their waist, it reminds me of being a little kid when Hulk Hogan took on the Ultimate Warrior. It really does. When two champions are walking out, that term doesn't work. That's a mutually exclusive term. You cannot have co-champions. And on Saturday night, we will not have co-champions. But for day, we do. And they have a dispute, and they must settle it. The hard way. Five rounds, unified rules. Okay. You want one prediction on this? You want one prediction on this fight? I will tell you, I think that Khabib, if you want an outside bet, an outside prediction, outside, I think Khabib and the scale the day before is likely to bring you some drama that has not been talked about. I happen to talk about this. I talked to this with Mike Socio. I talked to him about this a couple of days ago, and I want you guys to listen in. I recorded my talk with Socio. I want you guys to listen in to this conversation between Mike and I. Socio!
Hey, buddy, how are you?
All right, hey, so I got to tell you, I talk MMA all the time, and I do miss a little bit. My thumb isn't on the pulse as I think it is, because I live so close to the tree, sometimes I can't stand back and see the whole forest. That's just a reality, right? When you're covering something, you end up stuck in this bubble. You are a super fan. I mean, I must say, you are educated to the highest of levels. You've been following the sport forever. But just tell our viewers, how did you get involved in being a fan of UFC?
Yeah, okay, so I was originally a fan of when UFC first started. I was on The Fresh Prince. It was my first show. I was a writer. And Will Smith and I were huge, huge fans of UFC, literally UFC 1, the early, early days. So much so that Jay Leno gave Will these Rottweiler puppies, right, as a gift. And he named them Gracie and Shamrock and Tyson, you know, all UFC fighters and fighters in general. And we were just way into it. And then we sort of fell out of it for a while. And what brought me back was the Ultimate Fighter reality show, which to this day, I still watch. I crave it. They can't do enough episodes. I think it's the best thing that ever happened to MMA. In fact, I'm willing to say that that is what made the UFC yep. the UFC, because it brought a level of, it humanized this sport that everybody thought was just a blood sport. And all of a sudden you're watching it and you're like, oh my God, these are just regular kids. And this guy's a single dad and that one's mom is battling cancer. And, you know, and you got to know them on a human level. And it brought me back into this sport that I was away from for a while and made me fall in love with all over again. So I've been a fan ever since.
All right. Tell me this, a couple of things that are narratives within the fight game. I always hear the term finished fights just by example, but I always wonder how important is that? Like I'll be at audiences and I'll be in crowds and there'll be a finish and the crowd doesn't necessarily go crazy. So I've always wondered, is it the finish of the fight or the fight's just too damn long? Is it that you have a conflict and you have a conflict resolution and us, the viewer, is ready to move on to the next conflict so we can get the next resolution. Tell me, is it important that a fight gets finished, or do you just want to see a really good fight?
I want to see a really good fight. It is not that important that a fight gets finished. I think it's about levels. So when you know what you're watching as a fan, when you understand the intricacies of jiu-jitsu, right, you enjoy the long haul more. But for your average fan, speaking just from a place of how to increase the fan, you know, base, I do think it could be considered a little long, and I'll tell you why. Every time I watch fights with people who are not sort of educated with MMA, it's like, why are they laying on each other? You know, these are the things you get. Why doesn't he just move his arm out? Why doesn't he just do this? They don't see sort of the beauty of that. And except when there's three rounds or five rounds of two guys going toe to toe, which is rare. I mean, you know, it's not that often that you have a fantastic back and forth fight. So in that regard, yeah, I think fights can be a little long, especially the championship fights. So they can go a little long for the regular fan. But for a guy like me who really enjoys it, I have nowhere to go. I'm home on a Saturday night. My wife makes wings and I'm there. I'm in.
I must tell you, I ask you that for two reasons. One, because when I hear the talk a lot, you got to finish fights, you got to finish fights. But when I look at Fight of the Nights and I look at these guys that are getting bonus and recognized for their performance, it is very seldomly a fight that ends in a finish. It is usually a long, drawn-out war, but where both guys are trying to finish. Neither guy gives up on the concept of winning the fight, and they go at it nonstop. But so many times I do wonder, okay, where is this coming from? Is it because this is just too long of a fight? Is it because you're losing the audience's attention? And if that is what it is, much like boxing does, which is just simply too long. Ugh. If that is what it is, Mike, it seems like a real easy fix. Let's just shorten the contest. Instead of doing 3 fives, let's do 3 fours or 3 threes. If we're saying that the product needs to be cut short because the time limit's too long, it seems like we should just shorten the time limit.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good idea, especially for the championship bouts, but even for the regular bouts, I couldn't agree more. When you're watching the prelims, for instance, right, there is almost no prelim really that you want to watch three, you know, 5-minute rounds. It's very, very, very unlikely. So even the great Joe Rogan, who's entertaining you by telling you what's going on, it's still really difficult to stay engaged in those fights. And you made a really good point about Dana. See, Dana is a high-level thinker. Clearly, he's the guy at the UFC. So he understands the intricacies. So he likes those longer fights that go back and forth. And you're right, the fight of the night bonus is usually awarded to, you know, the ones that go on, the war of attrition and so on and so forth. But from a fan's perspective, if the UFC said tomorrow we're going to make it 3 4-minute rounds or even 3 3-minute rounds, I would not be opposed. Probably 4, because you need a little more time, different from boxing. There's so many more elements and ways to fight and finish a fight. So 4 would be a great thing. It would not bother me at all to have a shorter round.
I agree with that. Now, you brought up the early days of MMA. You were that Gracie's and the Shamrocks, right? The real prime time, which got us both involved as fans. But one thing they did back then, Mike, they used to have something called a super fight. What I loved about the super fight, there was no fake belt. There was no intern belt. It came with a belt. It was a respected position, but it was between two guys that you wanted to see fight. Maybe it wasn't for a title, and maybe it wasn't even for a contendership that would involve the rankings, but it was still two guys that had done something in the sport that were known and memorable and had a storyline, and now we're going to see them compete, even if it is for nothing other than the competition itself. I would love as a fan, and I'm never going to get my way. I'm not even an advocate. I just want to talk to you about, I would love if they brought back the super fight. There's some fights that I want to see, but they don't involve rankings, so I'm not likely to get them. Let me just offer you an example. Uriah Faber versus Jose Aldo, part 2. Right now, these guys aren't even in the same weight class. Right now, these guys are in a different part of their career where possibly they're not chasing championships. But that fight would be a lot of fun between two skilled studs that do have a backstory.
Do
you agree with me on that? Okay. Well, if you were to play along, if you could make a match, any match you wanted, who do you want to see fight?
Okay. Two guys, again, that are not in the same weight class, and they had flirted with the idea of fighting, for me would be John Jones and Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, see, now you took it to a whole new level. Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yeah, because John Jones, I mean, you know, look, they're different sizes and they have different skill sets. And it would truly be, I think the average fight fan would see what on paper, that fight is so awesome because you have this big, it's literally, my mom could watch that fight and go, well, the big guy with the sword on his chest, you know, if he gets a hold of the other guy, he's in big trouble.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, they have such different skill sets. And I would, as a fan, as a super fan of the sport, John Jones and Brock Lesnar, I want to see those two guys go at it 100%.
Yeah, that would be fun. I will tell you, over time, I love where the sport's at right now. And Scott Coker gets a lot of credit for this because Scott Coker always wanted to go, okay, who do I have under contract and what is the funnest matchup? Let me tell you this. I was at the UFC. I went over to Bellator. And a question I would always get asked is, what's the difference between the two? And Mike, I had so hard of a time answering that because there were so much similarities, but I've thought about it. I actually have my answer. Here's what my answer is. If Dana White is making a fight, the number one word that Dana is looking for when he puts a fight together is interesting. The number one word that Scott Coker is looking for when he puts a fight together is fun. So Coker had a smaller roster, but he wanted to have some fun. When you hear fights announced, what's going to be a good... And Dana wanted it to be interesting. He had a bigger roster. So Dana was very disciplined to keep his divisions within that division. Now, he's changed over time. We're starting to see this champ-champ thing. Where somebody's eventually going to be a champ-champ-champ, which is just going to be a phenomenal accomplishment.
Yes.
But in that vein, Mike, now... If we look back, we missed some fights that if under today's standards, we would have got. By example, Matt Hughes versus Anderson Silva. They wanted to fight each other. But Dana said, no, you're over here and you're over here. John Jones and Anderson Silva were willing to go fight each other. They even went downstairs at UFC headquarters in front of Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White and put on a private sparring session. This is how much these guys wanted to find out who's better. But we miss those, and we can't get those back.
Right. Now, why is that?
Well, we can't get them back. Look, Matt Hughes is no longer competing.
I mean, those guys, those particular guys, yes, but we have new guys. We have new situations. And I think, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned the UFC, you know, versus Bellator and their approach, because I think, just getting off track for a second, but I think that what makes great fights interesting, and you said all these things, is you're invested. You know what I mean? If you're invested in the fight, you know, you had a great way of making a fight exciting, right? Connor, clearly. And it, yeah, you were great. And it's not just the idea of talking. It's the idea of something in that fight goes far beyond that cage. There's something personal there, right? And I think that is the ingredient that we need for any super fight. It's just interesting. And with take, you said a perfect one, which is John Jones and Anderson Silva, because so many people were like, he's the best pound for pound. He's the greatest MMA. He's the greatest. They're similar in size and stature, and their styles are somewhat similar. Ultimately, every fan would want to see that. So I wish I had another one to think of, but there are a lot out there that you, I think we still have the, I think now more than ever, we have the fighters to make something like that happen. I think there are so many interesting fighters in the world. The Jorge Masvidals, the guys that are getting into brawls backstage and making it interesting. You know, Ben Askren, all these situations that happen, a four-second knockout and revenge and super fights and Daniel Cormier and John Jones going at it. So I think we're in a really good place for that sort of thing. And I think they need to classify the UFC. I was speaking to somebody about this recently. The UFC should have one fight per card that is like the quote-unquote oddball fight or the super fight. You know, we're bringing Uriah Faber, we're putting them, no weight classes, just put them against each other. There's not a belt, there's no rankings involved, just a great fight, like a fan favorite. That would be awesome.
Are you ready for some football, guys? The kickoff of the NFL season is happening this week, and it's time to get in on all the exciting action. All of us here at Podcast One are yet again competing against each other in the Sportsnet Challenge. And there's only one thing I know for certain. It's that old Chael is no jobber, and I'm planning to dominate the competition. Shaq, Adam Carolla, Steve Austin, they've all been put on notice. Here in the NFL, this weekend, we got the Ravens versus the Dolphins, the Bengals taking on the Seahawks, the Lions versus the Cardinals, and the Bills will be going up against the Jets. Are you looking for a place to make an online wager? Then head over to betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up today for free. Go make an account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 or text BETNOW to number 238669. You will receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's from me. Thank me later. But guys, go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
You're listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Okay. Let me switch gears here. About 2 months ago, there was a dialogue, but I started to believe it because Ari Emanuel himself started to believe it. Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber. Now, I get where it's, I get the whole thing. Remember that. I will still tell you with a very straight face, I want to see that. If those guys want to fight and I have an ability to witness it, I'm going to witness it.
I'm with you.
Okay, you're out there in Hollywood, man. Was there ever and is there still any truth to this match? What do you know?
Oh, that, I think it was a Twitter war situation. I think it was Justin Bieber sort of kind of mouthing off and getting a little bit, you know, full of himself. I don't think Tom Cruise probably ever took it seriously. I don't think that's his situation. I think he's, I don't want to say above it, but I just don't see himself, you know, at his age and all that stuff, getting into the mud with that situation. So I don't see that really happening. It was a fun idea, but I don't know how serious that was. But there are fights I would like to see happen.
By example.
Okay. Will Smith.
Okay.
Right? Will Smith is 50 years old. He's a superhero. I mean, the guy is just in unbelievable shape. He trained for Ali. He knows what he's doing. He's ready to fight. I would like to see Will Smith whoop some ass in Hollywood.
Wait a minute. No, you got to give me an opponent. Who's the opponent? Come on.
Well, I don't have the opponent. But if this was 12 years ago,
okay,
it was Eminem, because Eminem said a couple of things about Will in a rap.
Okay.
And I would personally trying to get the fight going. I was playing matchmaker. I was playing Dana White, you know. I was out there going, let's do this. Just box him. Put him in a ring and box him. It didn't happen, obviously, but I would have liked to have seen him whoop Eminem's ass.
I believe the line was, Will Smith doesn't have to curse to sell albums, but I do, so F him and F you too.
Exactly it. That's everything.
By the way, I must tell you, you know, some people don't get starstruck, but for me, for a small town guy, when I go meet somebody that I got to see in a movie or so, I get starstruck.
Are you starstruck right now? Is that what you're trying to get to?
I absolutely am. I absolutely.
I got jail.
But I must tell you, it's a real thrill for me. And yeah. I got seated next to Will at a UFC, sat side by side with him, 2 hours, watched a show, got a visit. He is one, and I can say this about a few guys, but he is one of the guys who did not let me down. He was as cool in person as he comes off on TV. He acted like we knew each other. I walked up, I was going to introduce myself. He said hello and called me by my name. He was great for 2 hours. I just must tell you that, because you probably meet a bunch of pricks in your business. He's not one of them. He's a good dude.
He's 100% a good dude. I say this to people all the time. I just got back from Rhode Island and all my family, you know, they ask, how's Will? Is he really as nice? Or people ask me, is he really as nice? And I say, no, he's actually nicer. And Chael, if this guy is fooling me, it's been nearly 30 years. I met him at the pilot taping of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Wow.
Okay. So we've known each other forever. The guy is as kind, as giving, as caring as an individual you will ever meet in your life. He's just that guy. He cares about everybody. His fans are number one to him. People in general, he makes you feel like you're the funniest guy in the world. You're the only person in the room. And he's just a fantastic guy. I'm sure you met him at the Ronda Rousey fight.
Yep.
That must have been it, right?
Yep.
And yeah, he's a fan of MMA, so he definitely knows who you are, and I'll tell him you said hello. And he's a guy that delivers. When people meet him, he's always what they expect and more. So yeah, he's the best.
All right, we're talking about Hollywood guys fighting. I got to tell you, I have fallen for the gimmick that Mark Wahlberg is a legit badass. I believe it, right? And I realize, I don't mean he's a skilled fighter, all of these things, but he did spend some time in a boxing gym. He's got documented altercations in the street. He's in fantastic shape. I would just think if we were to hand pluck a few guys from Hollywood that got to go fight in a cage and are probably going to do better than expected, I would have to think Wahlberg would be up there. Am I a fool?
No. Wahlberg would definitely be up there. He's compact. He's got a good stance. I've watched him. He has a boxing gym at his home. He has a boxing ring at his home, and I've seen him spar. He trained for the movie The Fighter. He's in fantastic shape. I mean, he's getting up there in age. He's about my age. He's 50, but I think he would be great. In fact, now that you say it, I think I smell a Mark Wahlberg, Will Smith bout.
Really? Those guys got heat?
No, they like each other. But so I know we need the heat. I'll work on it. Listen, how about this? I'm going to work on this, and I'll get some names lined up. We're going to get a fight, me and you. We're going to get something
It doesn't
going.
Even have to be true. Go grab Will's phone sometime when he's out of the room. Start texting Wahlberg some go get on his Twitter. I mean, let's get it going. Come on, take a joke, fellas.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say? This is all you have to do, Chael. It's so easy. All you have to do is go like this. Ready? By the way, I ran into Mark Wahlberg. Oh, really? What do you have to say? You know, it was interesting. You know, well, what do you say? No, I think he likes you. Look, I wouldn't worry about it. You know what I mean? That's all you got to say. And we're done. The fight is done. It's done.
We're done. We're
I
done.
Love it.
It would
I
be
love
enough.
It.
All right, buddy. Yes. Hey, this is awesome catching up. You got anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, absolutely not. I'm just a fan. I'm so glad that you had me on. I'm excited as hell, and I can't wait to watch it. It's
no,
great.
We got
to
make this a thing. I would love to have you on more often. I was he's super busy, and his wife's been, I don't want to, you know, between your vacation, I'm booking you. You're at the Bahamas waiting on a club sandwich at 2 a.m. I don't want to bother you, but you know, if you're open to it, let's make this a thing.
100%, bro. I'm in. I love it.
So sure. You're awesome. Thanks, pal. Let's hear it for our friends at Geico for supporting this podcast and helping you save some cash without even leaving the house. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. All right, guys, I have had it with you all, but I'll be back on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, what's happening, man? It's Tip, T.I. Harris. Come check me out, man. Join me on my new podcast called Expeditiously. Exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, every week, I'm going to be talking to people who move the culture forward, who are shaping and changing the world in their own way. You're going to hear some shit that will change your life and move the needle in your world. Expeditiously is exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, what I need you to do is download and subscribe to Expeditiously with a new episode dropping every Thursday. Do it expeditiously.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now, I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.